I say that every year I'm faced with the problem of looking at Noah kindly or looking at Noah in a less than kindly way. As Rashi brings the famous machloket, Yesh Dorshim Otolik, Shevach V'Yesh Dorshim Otolik, neither are those who find praise for Noah and there are those who condemn him. Tonight is going to be a good night for Noah. And it's going to be a good night beginning with, I'm going to begin with the world of Litvisha Gedola Yisrael, and we're going to go through from there to the world of Chassidut and Kabbalah. And it all begins with the last pasuk in Parashat Bereishit. We begin Parashat Noach and we forget the last pasuk in the parasha before. Everybody knows the first pasuk in Noach. Eile told us, Noach, these are the generations of Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorotav et ha'elukim hitalet Noach. Noach was a righteous man. He was full in his following God. That's how the Sedra begins. But there's something told to us about Noach at the end of Parashat Bereishit. And that pasuk is the Noach motza chein ve'inei Hashem. Noach found favor in the eyes of God. Now, I would say that we usually would use in our terminology to find favor or grace in the eyes of God means, you know, you have a kid who's a little rambunctious and obstreperous, but he has a certain thing, you understand? Which means he's not really a great kid, he's not a great student, but the Rebbe likes him because he has chen. You know, there's something about him, his smile, the way he talks, what he does, has chen. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's anything special. But we're going to see that there's a completely different way to look at the word v'noach motza chen b'enei Hashem. Noach found grace and favor in the eyes of God. And we will begin with three of the mefarshim on the pasuk. Now, needless to say, of course, I always have difficulty getting things straight. You see the line, V'noach Matzah Chayim Be'en Hashem. I think I once told you, I never went to kindergarten, so I never had, you know, played with finger paints and doing all sorts of things. If I had a little five-year-old put that sentence together for me on the page, it would have come out a great deal better. But you're stuck with me, and that's the way it looks. It's a little crooked, but you can read it. V'noach Matzah Chayim Be'en Hashem. The Sephorno. The Sephorno takes a position which is negative, and he explains what was the point of the grace, what was the point of the favor that he found in the eyes of God. The Sephorno is going to say in a word that Noah, his merit was sufficient that he should be saved, but that his children should be saved with him, this was an act of amnesty of God. Chayn from Chanina, amnesty. And the Sephorno says, "V'noach matzachein lahatzil gam v'anav v'notav, to save also his sons and daughters. Lo mipnei shahoyer ro'i l'kach, not because he was worthy of it. Aval al tzad chanina, it was an act of chanina, of amnesty. Ziko akel yibarach l'zeh, God gave him this good, this merit. Okay, we'll save your children as well. Ka'amro, as it says, and he bases it on a pasuk in Yecheskel." Where Yecheskel says, "Ushloshat hanashim ha'ele betocha," a city that has sinned, and I believe he's talking about Yerushalayim. Even if these three people be in that city, Noach, Daniel, and Iov, Chayoni, I swear, Noam Hashem Elokim, says God, im bonim v'im bonot yatzilu, I swear they won't be able to save their sons and daughters. Heim olavadam yinatzlu, they alone are going to be saved. V'zeh. Why is it that he was unworthy of saving others with him? So the Sephorno is going to explain, because he didn't teach people the knowledge of God. Would he have taught people the knowledge of God, others would have been saved, because then there's the hope that he will teach them as well. But if he doesn't teach others, then what is there that what can we do? So therefore, the only reason why his sons and daughters are saved is because of this act of grace. So he says, "V'zeh." The reason is, "Ki lo limdu et doram ladat at Hashem." Noah, Daniel, and Eov did not teach their generation to know God, as Avraham, Moshe, and Shmuel, and others did. Amram Zal, as our rabbi said, Elam, that was the place where Daniel lived. Vehem Daniel v'chaverav, the people of Elam, who were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, zochtal l'lmod v'lo zochtal l'lamed. They were zochet to study Torah, but they didn't teach it. V'chein Noach, afal v'yishahu chiyach al ha'matzim ha'mekautlim inyan ha'medinot, though he admonished his people. He admonished them about the acts that they do that are destructive of the states of the world. Lo hora otam ladat hakel yidbarach. He didn't teach them the knowledge of God, blessed be He, will elect the Rachav to go in His path. Afal pi shehu yad tzadik tamim be'iyun ubemasa. Though he was a complete tzadik, be'iyun in intellect, ubemasa in what he did, but he was not, or he did not transmit this to others. So kiyom no atzadik hamashlem atzmo buvad. A tzaddik who makes himself a complete and full individual is worthy. Who ro'i sheyimalei atzmo buvad? He is worthy that he alone should be saved. Aval hamashlem gamed zulato, the one who completes and fulfills others, who ro'i sheyimalei gamed zulato, he also has the power to save others. And there's a reason for it. If he teaches others and he's able to put them on the right path, then there's always hope that they're going to do tshuva. Come Ramzal. Im ra'isa Talmud Chacham shesorach b'yom al taharer achra b'layla shavadai also tshuva. If you see a Talmud Chacham who sinned during the day, don't have bad thoughts about him at night, because certainly he did tshuva and he will bring others to doing tshuva. So the Sefuno therefore is certainly learning that Noach matzochein v'ein Hashem, Noach found favor in the eyes of God, means that this was an act of grace. All right, you don't deserve that your sons and daughters should be saved, but I'm going to do it anyway. The Ramban and the Radak take a completely different approach. And take a look at there's a pasuk that both the Ramban and the Radak bring that should have great impact on our understanding of this pasuk. The Ramban on the left-hand side, the Tam, V'noach motzachem b'in Hashem shohu kol ma'asav lefonav noyim uneimim. All of his deeds were beautiful and pleasant before God. V'chein, when Moshe Rabbeinu is praying for the Jewish people after the sin of the Egel, and then there's an amazing conversation that takes place where Moshe Rabbeinu asks God, teach me your ways, I want to know you. God then tells him, you will see my back, but you will not see my face. He also teaches him the Yud Gimel, the 13 attributes of God. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum lechanun, erech apayim, rav chesed. And it says over there, God said to him, ki motzot ha'chein be'enai, you have found favor in my eyes. Could anybody for a moment imagine that Moshe was unworthy and that chein was just an exceptional act of grace and favor? Absolutely not. When God says to Moshe, ki matzot ha'chein ve'inai, vo'eidu acho b'shem, and I know you by name, I know who you are, I love you, I love you. That means that chein is an extremely positive force. And then it says the same thing, just as it says, v'yitin cheino b'ein eisar beit hasar. Yosef, God gave the chein of Yosef in the eyes of the prison warden. And then, Batihi Esther, no safe chain, Ba'ene Koro, everybody who saw her, there was a grace that made up the personality, the being called Esther. The Hiskir there, why do they mention the Noach Matzah Chain Be'en Hashem? Kineged Masha'am Abidoro, because the Potok had just said before about his whole generation, Shahoyu Kol Ma'aseim, all of their deeds were deeds that caused God to be depressed. Not so Noah. His deeds found favor in the eyes of God. The Ramban says, why Noah Motzachain? He connects the last pasuk in Parashat Bereishit to the first pasuk in Noah. Do you know why he found favor in the eyes of God? Do you think that this was simply an act of God's goodness? It was because Eila told us, Noach, Noach, ish tzadik tamim hayabidorotav. He was a righteous and complete man in his generation. The Ramban is learning that the Noach Matzah Chen Bein Hashem is that Noach is a powerful individual. There is a great deal of schut to Noach. All right. The Radak is going to say two things. He's going to say pshat in the pasuk, like the Ramban, and then he's going to bring a medrash. The Noach Matzah Chen Bein Hashem, the Radak says, Osa Masim Tov Mi did good deeds, Shebehem Matzah Chen Bein Hashem. He found favor in God's eyes because of his good deeds. It was not simply that God just decided to favor him. He earned it. V'chein nem ala Moshe, he brings the same pasuk. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, ki matzata chein ve'inai. And when Hashem says that to Moshe, my, is that a powerful statement. U'bebereshit rabba, now he brings the medrash. The medrash does have a different approach. The Medrash says, Omer Rababa Bar Kahana, ki nichamti ki asitim. Rababa Bar Kahana said on the pasuk that is written right there, I regret that I made them. The Noach at Moab, but what about Noach? Do you regret you made Noach? Ela filu Noach, she nishtaya mehem, even Noach, who remained after all were destroyed, lo hayo kedai, he was unworthy, ela shemotzah chein be'ini Hashem. He found favor in the eyes of God. So the Medrash takes the negative approach to Noah. The Ramban and the Radak clearly take an extremely positive approach to him. Now we're going to take you a few generations, 200 years down the line, and we're going to begin our discussion with a paragraph. We're going to study a paragraph that was written by the Saba Mikelm, the Alter from Kelm, one of the great personalities in the first generation of the Musa movement. And he says this on a pasuk earlier in Parashat Bereshit, Vayuchulu hashamayim v'haaretz v'chol tzva'om v'yichal Elokim v'yom hashivii, and God completed on the seventh day. So Rashi asks, what do you mean he completed on the seventh day? He should have completed it, as it said earlier, in all 6 days. What did he do in the seventh? So the Rashi brings it. Rashi says, when all of creation was finished, what was missing? What was lacking in creation? You know what was lacking? Menucha. Bo Shabbos, bo Menucha. Came Shabbos, there came, well, let's wait, we're going to have a definition of Menucha. I mean, simply it means rest. What kind of rest? What does it mean? So he says the following. Pizur ha-nefesh. Pizur ha-nefesh is a dispersed soul. What's a dispersed soul? We've all had periods of this sort in our lives. Man suffers from inner torment. He's going off in all directions. He's pulled in all sorts of contradictory directions. He wants to be good, and then the Yitzhahara confuses him. There's turmoil. Man lives with fear. He has worries. He has harrowing doubts. Man is depressed. I mean, why are people looking for entertainment and looking for drugs and all sorts of things? Because there's an inner unrest within the soul of a human being. He refers to this as pizur ha-nefesh. Pizur ha-nefesh means a dispersed soul. There's no unity within the individual. One minute is like this, the next minute is like that. There's a constant struggle going on within him, and this struggle, sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses, but it all causes a great deal of inner torment. That's Pizur HaNefesh. And the Alter from Kelm says, Pizur HaNefesh hu tachlit haheres. That's ultimate destruction of the human being. V'hafraot, disruptive. V'tachlit hayagon v'hanacha. Depression and sadness. All comes from this inner turmoil. Hu ein kol chatos, the mother of all sin, is this struggle that goes on then. If the godem le bilbul hamachshavit, it causes confused thinking, ula behilut hamaaseh, and it causes that people should do things with haste. You have to leave the house in the morning. It's late. The phone rings. You run for the phone. You knock over your cup of coffee. Now the floor is all wet, okay? And for all I know, you may slip on the coffee. And meanwhile, you're trying to talk to somebody on the phone. The guy on the phone is a nudge. Then you're telling yourself, why did I ever pick up the phone? I could have made believe I was outside already. And you get all confused and you get all upset. And just, you don't do, nothing went right today. That's already talking about on a very simple level. But man is tormented by all sorts of philosophical doubts, by all sorts of pain. There's pain, there's agony, there's suffering in life. And that creates this dispersed soul, this sin. All of these things are destructive of the inner human being. Pizur HaNefesh, you have to understand what he's saying now. Pizur HaNefesh, in its ultimate sense, all of us have moments or days or more of Pizur HaNefesh. But there is a Pizur HaNefesh that defines the evil. The evil and the wicked, they may seem outwardly to know what they're doing, where they're going, but they have gnawing doubts and fears. The Roshoyim Kayam Nidrash Yishayahu says, the Roshoyim are like a sea that is stormy. Ki hashkeit lo yuchal. He can't be silent. There is no silence. There is no tranquility. Kol Chayayim, their whole lives are kiyam zo'eif, like an angry sea. Veim holchim v'nidchofim midechi el dechi. They keep being pushed from pillar to post. Because they go from chendat hamam and a desire for money, a lust for money, el hatava, to all sorts of other desires. Min hatava, they go to covet. They need this, they need that. If they don't get enough of it, they're deeply upset. Umin hakavod, once you get to kavod, then it goes to tsar, to pain, and yagon, and depression. As the Mishnah and others says, hakinah v'hatava v'hakavod motzienes adam min ha'olam, the jealousies, being unhappy, not being someach b'chelko, not being happy with what we have, causes so much inner strife, it becomes pitiful. U'kishem she'pizur ha'nefesh hu min ha'giru'ot she'b'midot, just as a dispersed or torn apart soul is the worst of all character traits, kach menuchat ha'nefesh hiklil ha'ma'alot. The greatest good is a person who possesses menuchat ha'nefesh. There's only one good translation for menuchat ha'nefesh. Anybody want to take a chance? Menuchat ha'nefesh. Peace of mind. It's the greatest. Person who is zeicher to have peace of mind. And peace of mind is not something that's given out free by God. Peace of mind is something that a person has to earn. You have to strive for it. We're going to see what brings to peace of mind. Zohi b'chinat Shabbos, shehi me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. That's what Shabbos is all about. V'hi mashlima kol habriya. That's the completion and the fulfillment of all of creation. Bo Shabbos. Bo'o menucha. What was the world lacking? Menucha sa'nefesh. A human being who in the fullness of his personality is able to feel a sense of certainty. He knows where he's going and what he's doing and what he believes in. This gives man tremendous peace of mind. Great blessing. Great blessing. Hare. Take a look, he says. When that Rashi said that what was the world lacking was menucha, and then when you have menucha, creation is full and complete, it means that word, menucha, defines what creation is all about. Here is the point that we have to come to. The Rishonim say that was Madrega Toshel Noach. The Madrega, the level that Noach achieved, was the level of Menuchat HaNefesh. The Noach Motzo Chen. And we're going to see that the word Chen doesn't simply mean favor or grace. It means a great deal more than that. Incidentally, you should know, you should notice, Noach backwards is Chayim. Right? Bishvil shahaya ish menucha matzah Chayim. You know why he finds favor in the eyes of God? Because this is a man who's absolutely at peace with himself. We're going to see that to be at peace with oneself, one must be absolutely at peace with God. Must be absolutely certain that what he's doing is good and it's right, and in the fullness of his personality, he stands before everything. Let's not kid ourselves. 120 years, Noah is building the ark. People ask him, what are you doing, Mr. Noah? And he tells them, in 120 years, I imagine 10 years later, he says, tells them 110 years from now, God is going to bring a marble. They look at him like something's gone wrong. They look at him, the man, you know the fellows at the end of the civil goyish year, you always have a few interesting items about latter-day Nostradamuses who say that the end of the world is coming. Or if you walk around with a sign on Ben Yehuda, you understand, this is it, the end of the world is coming. For 120 years, never doubting for a moment the word of God, he's able to stand there, they laugh at him, they deride him. You know what? Strength that takes. And he's perfectly at peace with himself. Perfectly at peace. He is certain that that's exactly what's going to happen. To have that kind of menuchat hanefesh for 120 years means a man of awesome greatness. Who's my classic example of a person with menuchat hanefesh? When I tell you, you'll know. Yonah is fleeing from before God. He goes into the boat. There's a storm. Well, he's tired. He goes down into the bottom of the boat and falls into a deep sleep. Everybody on the boat is terrified. They're going to drown. They're going to die. Him? Nothing bothers him. They have to come wake him up in the middle of the storm. Kum kroel elokecho. Arise. Call out unto your God. How does a man sleep like that? I tell you, I envy Yonah. A good night's sleep, you know what it means, a good night's sleep? And this man is able to have a schlafzereis in the middle of a storm. Because he is absolutely certain that what he's doing is right. He's ready to give his life for Klal Yisrael. He's not going to let God use him as a stick against the Jewish people. Don't let it. Don't let it happen. They have to wake him up. I always give the example, you know. Nebuchadnezzar, the pilot says, we're going to crash. And everybody on the plane is, going, you can imagine the terror, the fear. And there's some fellow over there, shh, I want to sleep. And I slept on the plane. That takes awesome strength. We're going to see later, Rashi tells us that when it starts raining, what would we do when it finally starts raining? 120 years and 7 days later, it starts raining. What would you do? I know what I would do. I'd hustle myself into that teva and just settle down. Noah is standing outside the teva. The water is up to his knees. Noah is standing there, getting wet, he's drenched. It's up to his midsection already. He's not going anyplace. God has to force him into the teva and lock the door behind him. Do you know what strength it takes? Do you know what strength it takes? This is menuchat hanefesh. Menuchat hanefesh. He is convinced that God will not destroy mankind. And it's only when God finally pushes him into the teva that he surrenders. Listen, you push me, I'm going. But he doesn't want to go. He's going to stand out there. He'll stand out there till the end. That's unbelievable. Menuchat HaNefesh. Unbelievable Menuchat HaNefesh. So the altar from Kelm is telling us that Noach possess a character trait and a personality that can only be the result of years of work, working on himself to make himself a perfect individual, that he finally possesses menuchat ha-nefesh, peace, peace of mind. People work for it a whole lifetime. And we have moments at which we achieve it. We're also going to see something that's very important. There is no contradiction between movement and menuchat ha-nefesh. Menuchat ha-nefesh doesn't mean that somebody simply does nothing. Menuchah on Shabbos, after the challenge when you can't keep your eyes open anyway, you go to sleep, and that's menuchah. That's not what we're talking about. We're going to see Gedolei Yisrael talk about the constant movement of the tzaddik, or the good Jew that's doing good deeds. Constant movement. But you know what the constant movement of doing good deeds accomplishes? It gives menuchas ha-nefesh. You can have a day, you come home at the end of the day all exhausted, plain exhausted, to the bone. And you were mevakel chayla during the day, you went to a levaya, you chaptachayim daf yomi, you went to a shiur at Jerusalem College for Adults, or two shiur, you know, all sorts of things. You come home at the end of the day, and you're exhausted. I remember meeting a friend of mine some years ago on one of my very rare trips to Miami. Oh, he sees me, oh, Rabbi Gold. Oh, yeah, my tired, am I tired? He must have known. Probably was he played tennis or a few sets of tennis. In that days, who knows what else he did. I am tired. And then he looks at me and says, but it's a good tired. You come home after a day of having done good deeds, lived clean during the day. You come home, you're exhausted. But it's a good exhausted. It's a good tired. There's a certain feeling of an inner calm and a peace. You're happy with yourself. I imagine everybody is exhausted as I am when Ni'ilah is over. Maybe I'm a little bit more exhausted than the rest of you, because I put my neshama into Ni'ilah. But boy, is that a good exhaustion. It's a good exhaustion. There's a certain menuchas ha-nefesh that one is able to achieve and accomplish. That's Noah. Noah has menuchat ha-nefesh. I was thinking today, and if you've been following the news, in Maryland, Washington, D.C., in all of those areas, there's a terrible, terrible fear that has gripped people. There's a sniper out there. There's a sniper out there who's picking off people. There's terror. Four states? I don't know how many states. Three states? Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Maryland. Montgomery County. And St. George County. Yeah, I remember. I went to school in Baltimore. I had to know all the counties in Maryland. Our enemies thought that terror would cause us to buckle under. They thought that terror would torment us to the point that we would not be able to carry on. We'd give in to all of their demands. And you know what they found out? That there's a strength, and that strength can be called menuchat ha-nefesh. We're able to go on, even though we're living in an extremely mad situation. Take a look at what happens to Maryland and Washington, D.C., because there's one sniper out there. We have a million of them. It takes awesome strength. That awesome strength is called menuchat ha-nefesh. I know that this is where I belong, and this is where I want to be, and this is where the Rebbeinu Shlilim wants me to be, then I'm going to live under those circumstances as well. That's what it's all about. The Mesilat Yesharim, it's a little small, but let's see it. It's number
No, there were four of them. So let's do number four. Sorry. It's a Rashi. A Rashi at the end of Parashat Bereishis. When Noah was born, it says, who was Noah's father? Huh? Lemah. Right. There were two Lemahs in the Sedra. One of them is Noah's father. Violet Ben, he gave birth to a son. The only time in all of Parashat Bereishit where it says, Violet Ben, he gave birth to a son. By the others, it says, he gave birth to Bunim, Ubano, sons and daughters. By Noah, it says, Violet Ben, and he begot a son. Shemimenu Nivne Ha'olam, from whom the world was built. Because Rashi is learning the word Violet Ben, also from the word Binyan. Binyan. A Ben is the Binyan of a human being. Noah is the Binyan of the world. And now watch. When he was born, they said, Ze Yenachamenu? This one, Yenachamenu. How would you translate Yenachamenu? Huh? With comfort. Give solace. Rashi is not going to say that's not the shot. And you see, even in the English translation, they were careful. Not that he gives, that he will give solace. This one will bring us ease. Rashi is going to say that in this word, Yenachamenu, the real Shoresh is Lonuach, not Lenachem. Mimenu, Yenachamenu, from him we will be at ease. He's going to ease our burden. He's going to ease the torment and the torture of life. This one will bring us ease. Your niach mimenu will ease from us as it's known your day in the soil of our hands. Before Noah appeared, they didn't have implements for plowing. And he prepared them for him. And also the world used to, when you planted wheat, the earth would give out thorns and thistles because of the klala of other Marishim as a result of the curse of Adam. Would be named Noah, Noha. And in the days of Noah, Noha, it came to rest. Do you see now the real meaning of the name Noah? To rest, to rest, to be at ease. And this is the meaning of Yenachamenu. V'im lo tefar shehu kach. If you're going to say that Yenachamenu meaning comes from the word nechama, nichum, then his name should have been Menachem, or Nachman. Not Noah. He's called Noah because the word Yenachamenu over here does not mean comfort and solace, but Yoniach mimenu, from him will come rest. Noah means that he was a man who brought ease to the world. What was it? It was the fact that he had Menuchat HaNefesh. And that was probably the key letters in the word Menucha are the Nun and the Chet, and that's Noah. Maseiach Yesharim says, in his first chapter, Maseiach Yesharim says, listen, it's obvious, it has to be obvious to anybody, that the purpose of this world is not Olam HaZeh, this world, but the purpose of this world is Olam HaBa. If the purpose and the goal of man is to enjoy this world, God would not have given into him a neshama that is holy and has the divine in it. What do you need to take a poor neshama? The neshama has absolutely no enjoyment from a steak and french fries and whatever else may be great in this world. So, and not only that, the neshama despises and rejects it. So you take a poor neshama that never did anything bad to anybody and you put it into a man, and the man is going to feed this neshama, this holy neshama, with things of Olam HaZeh. That's not what it's all about. In Tachlit B'riyat HaAdam Haya L'Tzorech Olam HaZeh, if the purpose of creation of man was for this world, Lo Haya Tzorech L'Tnei Zeh, She'tenupar Bo Neshama, Kol Kach HaShuvah B'Yonah, God didn't have to breathe into him such an important and great neshama, She'tihiyeh, the neshama of a human being is greater than an angel. Certainly, the poor neshama doesn't have any enjoyment from all the delights of this world.
That's what our rabbis taught us in the Medrash of Kehelet Zelos Shonam. This is what they said. The soul will never be full. Marshal he gives a marshal, a commoner, an Edomi, he calls him a commoner, marries a princess. What is there that he can give that princess? What's he going to do? Every Friday he's going to buy her flowers for 20 shekel at the makolot, and he's going to bring her home. And this is really, what can he give to this princess? What can we give to the neshama? The pleasures of this world can't be. Marshal Mahadoma Li Ironi Shanosa Bat Malachim married a princess. Im Yavila Kol Mashal Ba'olam, if he brings her everything in the world, Einam Kashulim Laklum, they don't mean anything to her. Shehi Bat Melech, because she is a princess. Kach HaNefesh, so to the soul. Ilu Heveto Lakol Madani Olam Einam Klum La, if you bring all the delights of the world, it's nothing. Lama Shehi Min Ha'elyonim, because it comes from on high. This is meaningless to her. He goes on to say, she rejects it. Obviously, therefore, the purpose of Olam Hazeh is to prepare for Olam Haba. Let's take a look on the other side. I'm going to try and do 11, 12, and 13 down at the bottom. Where else do we have Menucha? Atko Echad, Vishimcha Echad, Minchan Shabbos. Minchan Shabbos, Atko Echad, Vishimcha Echad, Umi Kamcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Baretz. Okay. Tiferet Gedula Vateret Yeshua, Yom Menucha Ukedusha. Do you see the pair of words? What is Menucha paired with? Menucha is Kedusha. Yom Menucha, Kedusha, La'am Konatata, you gave to your people, Avraham Yogel, Yitzchak Yeranein, Yaakov Uvonov, Yonuchu Bo. What kind of Menucha? Menuchat Ahava Nudava, Menuchat Emed Ve'emuna, Menuchat Shalom V'shalva V'hashkeit V'veta, Menucha Shleima, She'atad Otsepo, a complete Menucha that you want. You think that this is a description of the Shlach Shabbos in the afternoon? This is not a description of sleeping on Shabbos. This is a description of a soul in its relationship with God. It achieves a sense of inner calm, a tranquility. It's amazing to have that. There are moments at which we experience it. Noah, a whole world is obviously going crazy around him. And there he is, he's a pillar. He's a pillar of strength in the middle. Doesn't become confused. Doesn't do anything hasty. Everything is prepared, everything is done. There's something so unique and so unusual about this man. The Zohar says, Noah is the Bifinat Shabbat. Noah equals Shabbat. And what did we say Shabbat is? Shabbat is Bo'o Shabbat. What does Shabbat give to the world? Bo'o Shabbat Ba'am Mitzvah. Because Shabbos, of course, encompasses and embraces within it everything that we believe. That there is a God. He created the world. There's reward and there's punishment. There's Torah. We talk about Torah. What do we talk about in the Shmoneh Esrei Shabbos in the morning? What are we talking about? Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Torah was given on Shabbos, but Moshe be happy. He comes down with the luchos. Shabbos is when Torah was given. Rav Tzadik, Rav Kook, and with that we will end. Ki menuchat Yaakov hi menucha shleima. The menucha of Yaakov that we talked about in Mincha is menucha shleima shatan rotzebo k'moshe kosov. What he's really asking, fascinating. There's a Gemara that says tzaddikim ein lahem menucha, don't have menucha. Lo ba'olam hazeh v'lo ba'olam haba. That's what the Gemara says. Tzaddikim don't have menucha, not in this world and not in the next world. And here we're talking about the ultimate goal of a tzaddik is to achieve menucha. So he says, you know what kind of, they get exhausted, but you know what kind of exhaustion it is? It's a good exhaustion. Because all of their movement, Yelchu Michael El Chayel, they go from strength to strength. Kizek kol menuchatam kishayuchlu lirdof achar Hashem. You know what their menuchat hanefesh really is? Their ability to pursue God and pursue goodness. It doesn't, menuchat doesn't mean to sit, I don't know, on a rocking chair reading the Jerusalem Post. No, Jerusalem Post, that all papers accept it. I don't know what there is any more good to read. But that's, menucha is not a contradiction to movement, intense movement. And that's what tzaddikim is. This gives them their menuchat hanefesh. Rav Kook says, she'ifat ha'tnu'a v'ha'menucha, the desire for movement. And what does the desire for movement have to do with menucha? Sho'efet hi'ha'nishoma mitzad echad ala menucha. On the one hand, the neshama desires, it yearns and longs for menucha, el hashalva ha'penimit, the inner tranquility. Umitzad echad hi sho'efet alachayim, the neshama also yearns and longs for life. But what kind of life? Elachayim ha'gemudin, complete life. Shebehem yesh, in that life, that's a life of achievement and accomplishment. There's tnuah, there's movement, kol, sound, chuot, chayim, cries of chayim. Shira adira, great song, the zimdat kail, and the song of God. Makira hi alkenet ha'olam besod yitzirato, ro'et mekor ha'menucha, the mekor ha'pa'ula. Rav Kook is saying the same thing as Rav Tzadik HaKohen. The source of menucha is the source of action. Positive action. Positive action gives man that menuchat ha'nefesh. Last piece of Rav Kook. Gedulat chesron ha'menucha, the lack of menucha. Ha'masigim ha'gedolim she'ein ma'alatam poseket miliyot somachat tamid b'tzmichot chadashot. There are people with all of their effort, all sorts of new things, they don't necessarily find margoa. What's margoa? Margoa is, huh? Say. To be calm. I mean, you know, tranquility. Bo'o menucha layogeya. You didn't learn that song when you were in, a little, I'm not going to sing it. Margoa. Remember the first time I came to Eretz Yisrael with my wife, I was in 69. I had been here in 55, 56. So that there was a hotel in Bet HaKerem called Margoa, Malon Margoa. Talmidei Chachamim, he also deals with the same thing, nearly two great giants. Speaking about the same name of Chazal, Tamidei Chachamim ein lehem menucha. Kasher yidbaru lehem yoter tochnei hamahut ha'elyona shalhem, yeidu lehavdil bein chesron hamenucha shalhem, sheba mitoch gedula nishmatit. Even the great tzaddik may feel a sense of restlessness. He doesn't have menucha. You know why he doesn't have menucha? Because he wants to achieve even greater kedusha. And that doesn't give him menucha, that one doesn't always perceive. Noach motzach chen b'enei Hashem. Noach is one who achieved something unusual and exceptional. Avraham Avinu had it too. I think it's Rav Kook who says it about Avraham Avinu. Famous, the parasha of the Akedah, take your one and only son, Yitzhak, and bring him as a sacrifice upon the altar. It says, Vayashkem Avraham Taboker. Avraham got up in the morning, he saddled the donkey, he took the wood, the fire, he took everything that he needed. So Rav Kook says, do you know what's implied by Vayashkem Avraham Taboker? Avraham got up in the morning? He had a good night's sleep. Can you imagine a man is being commanded to take his one and only son, and in the morning he's going to have to get up and do that? Does he toss and turn all night? Does he sit and stay till him? Absolutely calm, tranquil. He has a good night's sleep. He has a long journey ahead of him. He doesn't even know how far the journey is. Because God says, I'll tell you the place when you get there.
Vayashkem Avram Bavoka.
Avram has Menuchat HaNefesh. Avram has Menuchat HaNefesh. Noach, therefore. Noach Motzachin Be'ini Hashem. Noach Motzachin Be'ini Hashem does not mean that, well, this was a special act of grace. Like, okay, I'll save you, or I'll save your children too. Noach Motzachin, Noach was Noach, at ease, at rest, certain of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, strong in his relationship with him, and therefore possessing that Menuchat HaNefesh, it was the Bechinat Shavos Yom Shekulo Shavos Umenucha L'Chayei HaOlamim. That's what we ultimately look forward to. And it doesn't mean the rocking chair. What it means is a peace of mind that we so desperately, desperately need. So desperately. That's it. That's Noach. All right, everybody.